Good morning, and you're all very welcome on this 14th of December, week three of Advent. And we are going through the Old Testament book of Ruth during the 4 weeks of Advent. We are looking at and discovering the parallels between this ancient text of Ruth and the Christmas story. And we have seen that the events of the story of Ruth and the Christmas story have several similarities. In fact, the reason that Jesus was born in Bethlehem is because of what takes place in this story of Ruth. And to review, in week one, we looked at the beginning of the story of Ruth and Naomi as compared to the Christmas story. Naomi was from Bethlehem. And because of a famine, she and her family chose to leave Bethlehem to go to a foreign land. In that foreign land of Moab, Naomi's sons married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Those weddings may have been the only happiness for Naomi during her time in Moab. Within 10 years, her husband died, and her two sons died, leaving her a widow and without a male heir. And as a reminder, during that time in history and within the Middle Eastern cultures, she had no claim to her husband's lands or wealth. She was destitute. She convinced Orpah to stay and start a new life for herself, but Ruth had a life-changing decision. She was going to stay with Naomi, forsaking her own Moabite culture and heritage, and to live with Naomi, adopting her people and her God. Ruth made a heart decision to worship the true God and to forsake all that she knew. It was a radical commitment in life that would be a part of the Christmas story, just as the young Mary made a radical commitment of faith to travel to Bethlehem to be the mother of Jesus. In week two, last week, we focused on Boaz and how he took notice of Ruth. We looked at Ruth as a love story and how God used Boaz, a righteous man, who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in her time of need. The love story gets even better this week because we learn that the story of Ruth is also the story of a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. That is a great similarity to the Christmas story. Now, after the first two chapters, we have met the three main characters of the story. Naomi, as I said, who left Bethlehem with her family from Moab and returned a widow, losing her husband and two sons. Her name means pleasant, but she returned with a bitterness towards God and said her name was now Mara, which means bitter. That God would have none of that. He had great things in store for Naomi. We met Ruth, the namesake of the book, and how she made a radical commitment of faith to forsake her culture and her gods in exchange for Naomi's countrymen and the true God. And we met Boaz, the righteous man who showed kindness towards Ruth, providing and protecting her, even though she was an alien in the land. What a love story so far, but where did chapter 2 end? In a wedding? No. Ruth went back to live with Naomi. Now the love story needs a plot twist. We want to see Ruth and Boaz together, right? Well, let's dig into it then. As we pick up the story in chapter 3, we see that Ruth and Naomi are in a desperate situation. Why? Well, they have plenty of grain for food, right? The situation is that they have no financial stability in their lives. There are no husbands and no male heirs in their family. They're still in a destitute situation, a desperate situation. Naomi is past the age to marry and have a child, and God has not told her that this would happen, such as with Abraham and Sarah. So the one whom is of an age to marry and have a child is Ruth. Ruth needs a husband. Well, desperate situations call for desperate measures, and Naomi came up with a plan, which was God's plan, that was shocking and showed the desperation of their situation. Well, let's read verses 1 to 6. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. Wow. The basics of the plan was to go at night after Boaz has fallen asleep and lay down at his feet and wait for him to wake up and notice Ruth and suffer whatever the consequences. Well, here's Boaz, hard at work, sweaty, tired, working on the threshing floor, winnowing the barley and the wheat, and decides to sleep there. The job will take several days, weeks even, and why travel back and forth to the house? But just stay there and work until the job is done. It's doubtful that he expected a woman to appear at his feet the next morning. How could he have responded? He could have sent her away. He could have said, "How dare you? I know I helped you earlier, but how dare you show up at my bed while I'm sleeping? What might the neighbors think? What might my workers think?" Or he could react as the righteous man that he was and ask, "Why are you here?" You see, Naomi was counting on that. Boaz, as Naomi mentioned in chapter 2, was a close relative and could fulfill the role of kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer was a close relative who was responsible to help a family member during their time of need. If a family member became poor and had to sell off their land, the kinsman redeemer was supposed to buy the land back for them. And you can read about that in Leviticus chapter 25. The kinsman redeemer was also responsible to buy back family members who had been sold into slavery. That's also in Leviticus 25. And then there's the special case of a widow who had no children. In this case, the man's brother was to marry the widow, and the first son she bore to him would carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name would not be blotted out from Israel. You can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So this is what Naomi hoped for. She had Ruth cleaned up, dressed nicely, put on perfume, and to go to the threshing floor. Let's read the next two verses. "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet." After a long day of harvesting and a hearty meal, Boaz laid down for the night on the threshing floor, probably partly from being weary and to also protect his grain from robbers. Once he was asleep, Ruth slipped in, uncovered his feet, laid down, and waited. In the middle of the night, Boaz was startled. Maybe his feet got cold. Maybe he heard someone sneaking in. But then he is even more startled. There's a woman. And in verse 9, he says, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Now, spreading the corner of your garment over a woman was a pledge of marriage, which is still practiced in parts of the Middle East today. Ruth, with courage and boldness, identified herself and made the bold request for Boaz as her family's kinsman redeemer, to promise to protect and marry her. Ruth is very vulnerable now. Boaz had several ways to respond. If he was a violent man, he could beat her, force himself upon her, and send her away. If he was a dishonorable man, he could publicly shame her by saying that she seduced him. He could have reacted by crying out for help and exposing her to public disgrace and severe punishment. By visiting Boaz in the middle of the night and proposing marriage, she has thrown herself completely on the mercy of Boaz and his good character. Well, how did Boaz respond? Well, we know that he is a righteous man, a good man, and this is a love story. So he responded with mercy, righteousness, and love. Let's read the next few verses. And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow Kent townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." Boaz was definitely affected by Ruth's bold plan. He was honored that she chose him over younger men. This comment shows that there most likely was a large age group between them. She could have gone for someone nearer her age. There was probably someone that was a close enough relative to act as kinsman redeemer, but most likely they would already have a family. Boaz appeared to be a single man with no family to speak of. So Boaz, moved by Ruth's kindness, spoke kindly to her and promised her that he will do all that she asked. But there is always a twist to the story. The love story seems to never be a smooth story, but a bump in the road to deal with. And what was this bump? What was this issue? Well, Boaz knew of someone in the town who was a closer relative to the family than he was. And this other man had the first right of redemption. So Boaz needed to approach that man. Now, Boaz did not want Ruth wandering away, so he told her to stay until he talked to the man. Well, the next two verses, verses 14 and 15. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring your garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. So when morning comes, Boaz continued to show kindness towards Ruth. He made sure she was up and out before anyone else was awake and could have recognized her. He instructed his workers, those who were awake, to say nothing about her. And then he gave her 6 measures of barley to take back to Naomi as an act of good faith. And speaking of Naomi, during this whole scene between Ruth and Boaz, what do you think she was doing? I am sure she was praying for God to protect Ruth and that Boaz would accept her bold proposal. And she was also very anxious as to what was happening. No texts from Ruth with thumbs up that all was going good. No selfie of Ruth and Boaz. So when Ruth returns, Naomi asked. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" And she replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but settle the matter today." Naomi left Bethlehem full and came back empty and bitter. But now God, through Boaz, was assuring her that she would not remain empty, but that her life would be full again. Naomi and Ruth risked everything in going to Boaz, but his loving response to Ruth was exactly the answer they needed for their desperate situation. And now we come to chapter 4 and the costly redemption of Naomi and Ruth. This would be a great sacrifice for Boaz. He had to offer the position of kinsman redeemer to someone else. There was a chance he could lose Ruth. Well, let's read Ruth 4, 1 to 4. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came back. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to her, to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "Well, I will redeem it." See, Boaz invited 10 of the town elders, the town leaders, to meet him at the gates of the town. This is like the city hall of the day. It was the place where all the important matters of the town were discussed and decided upon. The elders were to be the legal witnesses of this discussion between Boaz and the other person. Boaz laid it all out for the guy. "You are the closest relative, and you can redeem Naomi today, but if not, and since I'm next in line, I will do so." So the guy said that he would do it. Well, now, before we get to Boaz's response, think about that guy. He thought he only needed to buy back the lands for Naomi and give them back to her. He knew nothing of Ruth, because Boaz kept that part hidden unless he needed to use that information. Once the guy agreed to do it, then Boaz provided the rest of the story in verses 5 and 6. Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." This is like Boaz saying, "Oh, by the way, you're not only buying the field from Naomi, but you also get her daughter-in-law, widow of the dead. And she's not of Israel, but a Moabite. And you will need to marry her to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Talk about dropping a bomb on the transaction. Here's the legal info in a nutshell. When Naomi's husband died, the lands passed down to her sons. When the sons died, the land passed on to their sons. And since Ruth was a widow of one of the sons, the kinsman redeemer was required to fulfill his role by marrying Ruth. Boaz made sure the man understood that Ruth was an alien. That was the game changer for the man. He wanted nothing to do with a woman who was not Jewish. He would also be endangering his own estates, because if Ruth had a son, then something happened to his sons, the son of a Moabite would get everything. So he said, "You redeem it. I cannot do it." And here's the legal bit to finish the transaction. Verses 7 and 8. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. The moment he took off his sandal, he forfeited the right as kinsman redeemer. Those rights passed on to Boaz, and Boaz wasted no time in claiming them. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. It was a costly redemption, but Boaz loved Ruth and he was willing to pay the price. The book of Ruth is a love story, and it is the story of a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. Now we will finish this story next week because there's still more to it, and we'll look at that next week. But let's recap what we've looked at today. And the Christmas story is also a love story. How is what we read today similar to the Christmas story? Well, the Christmas story, as I said, is also a love story. It has a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. Now, I could be talking about Joseph and what he did for Mary, but I'm talking about Jesus and what he has done for each of us. Why he came. He came to be our kinsman redeemer. So let's look at this. What is our desperate situation? We are the beloved, and our situation is described in Galatians 3, as the it says, the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. We were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. We were prisoners of the law, held captive by the law. We were lost in our sins, cut off from God, deserving death and eternal punishment. We were in a desperate situation and in desperate need of a Savior. What was God's loving response? How did God respond to our situation? In Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. God's response is what we celebrate at Christmas. God sent his Son, Jesus. The eternal Son of God was born into our world as a tiny baby. He became flesh like us. He became kin with us. He is closer than a brother. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And it was a costly redemption. Jesus came as our kinsman redeemer, and it was costly. Mark 10:45 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, to redeem those, to redeem us. Just as Boaz did not serve himself, but served Ruth and Naomi, so Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. It cost Jesus much more than it cost Boaz. The other kinsman redeemer, he was worried about losing his estate. Boaz was worried about losing Ruth. Jesus willingly left his estate. He left the glory of heaven, and he entered our world as a human baby. He gave his own life as a ransom for many. He died on the cross as our kinsman redeemer. That was his cost for our redemption. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. But his redemption is not automatic. You need to come to Christ for salvation. Just as Ruth recognized her desperate situation and cast herself completely at the feet of Boaz, at his mercy, righteousness, and love, so do we need to recognize our desperation, our desperate situation, our sin, and we need to cast ourselves at the feet of Jesus, asking for forgiveness and asking for his mercy, righteousness, and love. Just as Boaz responded lovingly to Ruth and did not cast her away, we have this precious promise from Jesus from John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Christmas is the story of a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, and Christ Jesus paid the debt that we can never pay. As I said, next week we will finish in Advent week 4. We will finish the story of Ruth because there's still more to it, and there's more about Ruth and the Christmas story. And I hope you'll be here next week. Let's pray.